The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 17, The Final Test. When it became known in the camp who would join the creative group, an incredible revival began. People suddenly started coming to me in crowds, offering their help. Even those with whom we practically did not communicate and barely saw each other in class. To my shame, I didn't even remember their names. "Here, take these, please." An unfamiliar gray-haired woman with wrinkles around her eyes carefully handed me a pair of fluffy wool socks. I knitted them myself. "Oh, thank you, but there is no need." I politely tried to refuse.
"What do you mean there is no need?"
the woman asked.
"Take them, you'll definitely need them there."
I was thinking a lot of different necessary things, from food to pens, notebooks, and cookware. As a result, I was completely equipped to go to the creative group. I couldn't help thinking of Alex Packing, who apparently had been going on a pleasure trip or a fashion show, and I was being prepared as if I was going to war. As I realized later, helping me, those people wanted to thank God Himself. After all, a person can do this only through His creations, spiritual teachers, the righteous, and saints. By helping people who are close to God, we become involved in God's work. In the Christian tradition, it is customary to donate money, clothes, or food. This is considered normal, and no one is surprised. But the Eastern tradition looks strange for many people. So, in Tibet and India, people have always tried to send one of their children to an eco-village, monastery, or temple, for them to be closer to God. For the entire family, this meant receiving tremendous divine support and protection. It is difficult for a person with European values to get used to the idea of giving up their child. But in the East, people understood that to give a child away to serve God meant to provide him with a part of themselves and to deserve great mercy. By helping those who went to help the teacher and the school, the participants of our seminar wanted to receive divine favor and protection. So, through helping me, they gave thanks to God Himself and made a sacrifice to Him. And here it was, the train again, the sound of wheels, which was like pleasant rhythmic music, villages flashing past the windows, the occasional silvery glint of the river, forests, and fields sweltering in the summer heat. Our small group of the chosen ones were given tickets in a car with reserved seats, and all the seats were located next to each other. Our mentor assigned us a curator, a woman who was supposed to help us during the trip and then accompany us to the creative group. But before we had gone far, a comical situation happened to me, which turned out to be quite revealing. At one of the stations, our curator asked, "I need to buy mineral water and some wet wipes. Girls, can someone go for these, huh?" As a true activist, sportswoman, and excellent student, I volunteered to help without any second thoughts.
I can. I don't mind.
I smiled, taking the money.
And how long is the train going to stay here?
20 minutes.
20? Are you sure?
I asked, just in case.
I am,
the woman said. I asked the conductor just now.
Figuring that I would be able to make the necessary purchases at the station in any case, I hopped out of the stuffy wagon.
It was hard to stay there. The trains were not air-conditioned at that time. It was the peak of summer, and the heat was unbearable. We all kept running to the toilet to wash our faces with cold water and wet our clothes, which dried in just 5 minutes. There was hardly a breath in the air there. Outside, the situation was not much different, but at least there was a chance of a light breeze. I run out of the car, wearing a light top, shorts, clutching a few coins, and a crumpled bill folded in four. After I bought everything I needed from the shop inside the station, I returned to the platform and almost dropped the bottle of mineral water I had just bought. The platform was empty. Empty at all. There was no train, no people who had just been rushing back and forth, no vendors with homemade pies and dried fish. Only a lone janitor grimly swept the sidewalk. The station clock said that only 5 minutes had passed. In disbelief, I walked over to the janitor.
"Has the train already left?"
I asked.
"Yeah,"
the janitor drawled without interrupting his work.
"How long did it stay?"
I asked.
5 minutes.
"How come? It was supposed to stay for 20 minutes.
"No idea,"
the janitor muttered, showing absolute indifference, then yawned and returned to his work. He did not care that I was behind the train, and he was not going to help me. I was left alone, in the middle of nowhere, without money, without a passport, without clothes. For a while, I just stood there and tried to figure out what to do. I had scenes in my head in which I had to run somewhere fast, hitch a ride, and promise the driver whole mountains of gold if he caught up with the train. At least, that was what the characters usually did in the movies. I kept standing there, slowly realizing my own powerlessness. Far away on the horizon, I saw the train's tail going away, but I was not even sure it was my train. Giving up hope of catching up with it, I wandered into the station building. It was also deserted and quiet. The ticket clerk's window was empty, except for a white handwritten sign that said, "Gone to lunch." For a while, I wandered around the station, looking for someone to ask for help. There was no information desk, no police or security. Finally, the clerk came back waddling. She did not show any interest in helping me either. After reluctantly listening to me and muttering that it was not her problem, she slammed the window in my face. Surprisingly, even though I was aware of my predicament, I did not panic or got angry. I was filled up with a positive energy of the place of power. that the problem didn't induce strong emotions. I was protected by a dense field of kindness, strength, love, and support. Inside myself, calmness spread out like a quiet, crystal-clear mountain lake. But at the same time, I realized that I was looking inadequate now. A person who others want to help should not look like this. I was calm, reasonable, happy. When I attended group classes in my town, we did some exercises that helped me loosen up and get rid of the fear of judgment, to overcome the dependence on social approval. For example, we were walking down the street and someone could say, "Drop down and give me 10. And we had to start doing push-ups right in the middle of the road right away. Even girls wearing high heels and long fur coats had to do that. It looked quite strange and probably comical. But we learned to ignore the curious looks of passers-by and felt pleasure from this process. Now I remembered our classes and decided to start the game. Only this time, its purpose was not to practice liberation and not to get rid of social stereotypes. Now this game became an urgent need because I needed help. And then I went to the middle of the platform, took a deep breath, let it out with force, and began to sob out loud. After all, this was how a poor girl who has fallen off the train should look like in people's minds. I acted quite naturally. Even tears appeared in my eyes. Just a bit, of course, but my eyes were wet.
"I missed my train!"
I roared, rubbing my eyes with my hands and sobbing nervously.
"And what am I going to do now?"
The janitor, the one I had just recently approached, and said essentially the same thing, but in a calm voice, immediately rushed to me and began to ask for details. Then we ran to the station building and I continued to play the role, watching the enthusiasm with which the ticket clerk started bustling around. She closed the window, dropped what she was doing, and took me to the station chief himself. Everyone began to run around as soon as I got into the character. While I was walking up to the second floor towards the station chief office, I kept thinking that I had to continue the game. Although I did not really want to cry, I had to continue to pretend to mourn so that people around me would start doing something. As a result, the station chief personally escorted me to the train, which was going just to the station I needed, although it was not even a car with reserved seats, but a sitting one with wooden chairs. But I went absolutely free of charge, since I did not have any money, of course. And here I was, sitting on this hard seat, surrounded by strangers. I was deprived of basic things. I had no food and no money to buy anything. Night came, and I felt cold, but of course I did not have any warm clothes. I continued to sit, wearing the same shorts and top. I also realized that I was hungry and thirsty. But despite all this, my mood was just great. My soul was surprisingly calm and good. And then I suddenly remembered that I had an amulet bag hanging around my neck. The one I had bought in Moscow before my trip to Sochi. Throughout the seminar, this bag, in the form of a kind of pendant, hung around my neck, absorbing positive energy from nature. On the last day of the seminar, I could not resist asking my mentor to charge it. I wanted to take with me something more than just a memory of those beautiful places and fantastic events that happened to me. Before we were told about who was going to join the creative group, I remembered the mentor's piercing look, who looked at me, examining me, but with some special warmth, and asked, "What do you want to charge it for?"
"What for?"
"Yes, what for?" As it turned out, I did not even think about such a question. After a moment's thought, I said, "You know, I want to find the power that will guide me through life." And now, I touched the bag and felt the hard metal through the velvet fabric, and I squeezed it in my hand and closed my eyes for a second, calling for help from higher powers. Then, almost immediately, people began to approach me one by one. At first, it was a woman in her 30s or 40s. She sat down next to me, started a conversation, and gave me a drink. When she found out that I had been left behind, she began to cheer me up in every possible way. Then, the woman got off at her station, but was replaced by a man who treated me with even more concern. People around me were switching, but each of them supported and helped me. And I saw messengers of God who were sending me his support and protection this way. As a result, I reached the place with comfort and absolutely no need for anything. I didn't feel like a person in trouble, but rather like a queen who took full advantage of the world. For the last part of the road, I was accompanied by a nice man who took enormous care of me. At some points, I even felt awkward. He looked after me as if he owed me something. He fed me, covered me with a warm blanket, and constantly asked if I needed anything else. At the end of the trip, I sincerely thanked him for his help, and we parted. I thought Ruslan, that was the name of my new guardian angel, wanted to say something, maybe to ask how to find me, or how to continue our acquaintance. I don't know if he had a thing for me. At that moment, I didn't care at all. I didn't want to think about it. Inside myself, there was a sense of peace, a beautiful calmness. I felt that everything was going exactly as it should, that everything would be okay in the end. And this man, I was grateful to him. But at the same time, I clearly understood that I had promised nothing and owed him nothing. When I finally got to my station, I was surprised to hear my name announced. A mechanical voice from the speaker said that I was being waited for. My first thought was that this was the same curator who had sent me to get the mineral water and wet wipes. Probably she was worried because she had not completed the task of the mentors. She had not brought one of the students. I thought she was the one looking for me. But I was wrong. Some other people were waiting for me. They were two strangers. One of them was a tall young girl with expressive blue eyes and fair hair. The other was a slightly older woman, a beautiful, bright brunette with a slim waist and utterly feminine curves.
"Roxana, is that you?"
the brunette asked softly as I came closer.
Yes, that's right. And you are?
I've come for you, she said, smiling.
And this is Sirena.
The fair-haired girl smiled benevolently and nodded.
Nice to meet you,
she said.
I think we're going to be friends.
I was struck by the way she spoke. The voice was so clear and strong. I thought the name Sirena suited her very well. Or maybe that was why she was called that. In honor to the sirens, those mythological creatures who had a genuinely divine voice. Thinking this way, I hurried after the woman who turned out to be a mentor, and we went with her to the place where everything in my life was just about to begin. As we went, I could not stop thinking, analyzing what had happened to me on the way. I tried to understand the reason why. Could this obstacle be a sign that I did not need to join the creative group? Such questions came from a critical mind that was used to doubting everything. But the sensual, emotional part of me suggested a clear answer. I felt so good, so easy, as I approached the cherished place. The euphoria grew. The feeling of happy uplifting at one point was so great that it made me turn off the doubting part of my mind and follow my soul. After all, if God did not want me to come to the creative group, would he have sent so much help along the way? Later, after summarizing the stories of many other students, I came up with a formula. The more God wants to give you, the more he tests you. There are many examples of this in the Bible. For me, this test was the story of the train. I endured it with dignity. I did not fall into either depression or aggression. I kept my presence of mind and a positive mood. Any test can be seen as a kind of sacrifice that the higher powers ask of you in return for the power you seek. It does not matter whether it is material well-being or love, harmony in the family, health, or some higher knowledge. We must pay for everything we strive for. That is, in the Spirit's language, we must sacrifice something. For some, this is just money, and for others, the spirits may ask them to additionally give up their habits, attachments, and identifications as a sacrifice. It can be anything. I have often seen people who would come to the seminars, pay for them, study there with the mentors, and leave to return to their normal life. They made only a material sacrifice, and as much as they sacrificed, so much they received. And this is not about the size of the donation. It is different for everyone. God cannot be deceived. He always sees whether the sacrifice is really proportionate with what a person asks of him. Such people did not meet any obstacles on this path, but they did not have any global changes either. Of course, their problems and requests were also solved with God's help, but everything in their lives continued to remain. However, there were also people of such a category who had to break through a series of obstacles, literally. They got sick, lost their passports, could not leave because there were no tickets left, and they were not allowed to work. They had to go through serious obstacles to come to the seminar. But if they overcame all this and came, then this was where the real miracles began. Suddenly, they solved their problems in a completely unexpected way. As if by magic, debts were forgiven, broken families were restored, and illnesses receded. For many years, people could not get rid of these problems. But after passing the tests and coming to the seminar, they noticed that their lives began to change miraculously. Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.